When you get to the point in your walk with God that you can say that's no mountain for a climber. When you get to the place in your spiritual walk that you have confidence in God that no matter what comes your way, you're going to be able to make it, then that puts you and I in a category of victory. How many wants to be in that category of victory? I want to be in that place, and my mind goes back and I think about folks in our church here and realizing we got Roy battling some issues, got my dad that's battling health issues, and we see Brother Wendell's gaining ground in his battle back there and thanking God for that. And we see Kelly and her family going through issues here. And Brother Buck had an issue with his heart back last week. And all these things just come against us like a flood sometimes. But there has to be a point in our life that we just determine that we're going to make it. And if you got Matthew chapter, I'll have to get my glasses on here. Reached back there and felt a while ago, didn't find them nowhere, and I had these fancy city-looking glasses, so thank God for city-looking glasses. Y'all with me? Matthew chapter 24. And it's so good to have you today in the service, and appreciate you being here. Good to have our visitors with us, and just thankful. I just tell you what, I prayed, especially today and this morning throughout this service, that God would send whoever needs to hear what I'm going to preach today by today, to be here today. And I'm led to believe that this is the kind of God He is, Brother Josh. We could actually, there could be folks not here today that needed to hear this today but chose not to come. Y'all still with me? Does that change God? I'm sitting there thinking, my mind, you know, sometimes we have problems when we stop and think. Y'all ever had that problem? And my mind's thinking, okay, I'm thinking, God, you need, somebody needs to hear this today. I know that you put in my spirit, somebody needs to hear this today. And then I begin to look across the congregation. I see this one gone, that one gone. I'm thinking, well, maybe I should have preached this last Sunday, you know, but now God's bigger than that. God's bigger than that. God knows what we need, and He knows when we need it. But folks, we're going to have to be in a place to receive it. We're going to have to be in the place that God wants us to be in order for God to move in our life. And I want to be right in the middle of it, Brother Eddie. I want to be right where He wants me to be, when He wants me to be there, and I want to have the right attitude when I get there. Come on, preach with me a while. I want to be in a place that God can use me, and I don't want to be where God is in a place and saying, man, that kid needs a whipping. Come on. Amen. Woo, we're shouting good now, aren't we? 24th chapter of Matthew. Stand with me. Not going to read a lot here, but we probably all have read this scripture. And I don't know if we have preached a lot along this lines, but I'm going down this road today. We could just might as well hit verse 12 and 24, just to throw this in here. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now that really doesn't have a lot to do, I guess you might say, with what I'm preaching in the next verse. But folks, have you ever seen a day like we're living in today? Folks have no desire to serve God. It just puts them in a place that they don't care about God. Matter of fact, a lot of times when anything's mentioned about God, they don't like it. They don't want to hear it. And a lot of times you can back it up and realize those folks have known who God is. Next verse. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. Let's pray. Father, this morning we thank you for every song given today, for lessons we've learned of your word today. Lord, we come to this portion of the service. I pray you anoint me to say what you once said. Lord, that our ears not only be hearers, but be doers of your word. Lord, open our hearts today as we open our hearts to pour, for you to pour into our hearts today, Lord, in this service. Lord, that our lives be changed and be molded because of your word, and realizing that your word changes our life when we apply it to our lives. Lord, if there's one here that seems like they've gone as far as they can go, I pray, Lord, that let me say something by the inspiration of your anointing in this house to touch their life. Lord, minister to those that may not know you as their Savior today, drawing them to you. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for standing in the service today. He that endures unto the end, that's the one that's going to be saved. Now, I'm not getting into doctrinal differences of whether we're saved once we accept Christ and going to eternally secure. I'm not getting into doctrinal differences there. Y'all, you know where I stand on what I feel like the Word says about that. I'm preaching this morning about the desire and the choice to make it. And not having anything to distract us from our walk with God. And that there's times. I just be honest with you, church. We've not made it yet. I'm still here, and you're still here. You look down. That carpet's not gold. Those oak doors are not gates of pearl. We're still here. And if you go long enough, you're going to have some tears run down your eyes. Have anybody ever experienced that? Now, when we make it over to heaven, the tears are going to be wiped away. Not going to be no sorrow over there. Sin's not going to be there. Those things that have kept us down and distracted us and hurt us and got us all sideways down here will not be over there when we make heaven. So I think we've come to the conclusion that we're still here. We still got some enduring to do. And folks, I tell you, yes, I've been pastoring, been preaching for a few years and living for the Lord quite some time, but I would hate the thoughts to think that I would serve Him all this time until now and get on the last leg of this race and something knock me off track. Something distract me and something would hinder me in such a way that I wouldn't finish this race serving Him, raising and flagging that bloodstained banner. Y'all preach with me this morning. Amen. I heard a story of a happening, supposed to have been a true story down when the Hurricane Katrina? When that hurricane hit down south and there was a story, this preacher told the story of this dog that was out there in the midst of that storm. When the storm was raging and the wind was blowing and the rain was no doubt coming down in such a force that you couldn't hardly see. And they saw this dog out there in the parking lot. And this dog was stretched out just as low as he could get on the ground. He was staying down next to the ground. He'd crawl under cars and so on and so forth, trying to survive the storm. And I got good news for you. That dog, this is supposed to have been a true story, that dog truly survived the Hurricane Katrina. Can somebody say, thank God for helping me through a trial? I want to bypass just a minute. I believe you're here this morning. You've gone seemingly as far as you can go, and you're just about to the point of deciding to throw in the towel and quit. Come on now. Preach with me. I'm telling you right now, that's not the answer for you to be putting out and contemplating in your mind. This is a time for you to bow up and say, I'm going to serve God no matter what comes my way. It doesn't matter if the Hurricane Katrina comes at me with all force and it seems like I can't make it another of the day, I'm still going to serve God. Give the Lord a clap of praise. Now this dog had survived, and it would look like on the elements out there, you'd think man and the beast couldn't survive, but the true story was told as truth, that this dog survived that Katrina storm out there by just staying down low and Sister Marty finding places of safety under vehicles, and no doubt who knows how that dog made it through that storm, but several days down the road after things had settled down and a little while down the road, this pastor was driving down the road and saw this dog beside the road run over by a car. I know I'm crazy. Preached on snakes last week, trees last Sunday. Now I'm on dogs. You can go home and tell somebody this preacher don't have much depth out here. He's pretty simple. This dog had went through the trials of life. But you know what happened? The dog got careless and very uncautious about his walk. He got out there in everyday life. life. And he just began to go along and think, well, I've been up to this road many times. I've seen these vehicles drop. No doubt, maybe he looked off. You say, preacher, you're reading into this. I'm giving you an illustration. And folks, we're going to have to endure. The ones that endure, the ones that stay in there, the ones that are not going through everyday life and saying, I can't make it. But you go through a hard time and you make it through that, and then allowing things to hinder your walk with God. Folks, it's time to realize we must endure. What a shame to go through that tornado, go through that storm and survive that, and then find himself losing his life because of a careless walk out in a road. Go home and think about that. You might be today in the middle of the Katrina. You might be, and those winds pounding on your doorstep right now. Sister Marty brought forth the example of Paul in the shipwreck and what's going on. He said, you're going to have to, the Lord come to Paul and spoke to him and said, you're going to have to stay on board the ship or you will lose your life. Can I give you an insight here, sir and ma'am? If you and I do not stay hanging on to the blood-stained banner of Christ, have our hands, so to speak, slipped into the nails, scarred hands, you and I will not make heaven. Will we have trials come our way? Will we have troubles come our way? We certainly will. Will our faith be tested? If our faith is not tested, I feel like our faith is not strong. If you can look through the scriptures in time and you can see men and you can see women that have found their faith put to the test, and you can look and you can see that they have endured. What is enduring, preacher? Enduring is to stay in a given place, a given state, a given relation, or a given expectancy, continuing to stay, not in a place. And I'm going to give you something here. We talked about spiritual gifts in the last 2 or 3 weeks. And of course, y'all know we Pentecostals, we're all spiritual. All right? Amen. Thank God for those folks that serve God, not on an emotional basis, but on a faith basis. Do I have emotions? Oh, yeah. I get excited. I want to shout and run, and I do that. Amen. Y'all with me? It's going to take more than that. It's going to take more than feeling good. You'll feel good today. Look, let's get honest about that. Some folks was here last Sunday, felt good last Sunday. They're not here today. Felt good last Sunday, don't feel good today. Well, what have we got? Walking on feelings. I'm not walking by feelings. I'm walking by faith. I have determined in my heart, I will endure until the end. What am I saying? I'm saying right now, endurance is not some kind of Pentecostal doodad, some kind of spiritual insight, some kind of spiritual shakening that's going to make you do. Endurance is a choice that you and I are going to endure no matter what comes our way. Give the Lord a clap of praise in this house. That when, not if, but when the trials come our way, when the floods begin to rise and begin to overflow us, when those things happen, I will stand. I will not waver, son. I will be that man of God that will stand there. And when or if I make a mistake, I will go boldly before the throne of grace and ask that his blood be applied to my life. Come on, preach with me. I'll stand. Because of one reason, I made the choice to, and I will. People and folks get to the place, and I believe you're here. You get to the place of giving up. Folks get to the place, they just want to give up on everything. Want to give up on God. Just forget God. Just no time for God. Don't want to take the chance. They give up because they have a situation with a job. They give up because they have a family issue going on. They get to a place, they just say, that's it. I'm not going to try no more. Y'all preaching with me now? We're going to have to realize we've got to go much beyond that. Folks leave church because of this and that and something other else. I tell you right now, if you're looking for the perfect church, you might as well go down the road. It isn't here. No, sir. No, ma'am. You can look across and you can find fault with this and find fault with that. You can find fault with the preacher. Somewhere down the line, no doubt, I'll preach something you really won't like. It'll kind of catch you in your craw and you'll not like it. Come on now, preach with me. There'll be something said. Sister Marty or your teachers will teach something. You'll say, I just don't agree with that. Don't know about that. Hey, man. Somebody will say something. Somebody will do something. You just won't know about that. Listen, we're going to have to realize one thing. I'm not saying everybody has to come to church here, but I'm telling you this. You need to be where God wants you to be. It could be God wants you to endure and rise above the things that knock people off track. It could be that God wants you to be able to stand. And folks, if you and I cannot stand today, I've got some bad news coming out for you. If we can't handle the footman, how can we run with the horseman? If we can't handle pressure today and we're ready to quit and throw the towel in, that's not enduring. Brother Mark, we're going to have to be empowered by the Holy Ghost and realize we're here to stay. Amen. The devil's going to have to realize one thing. He didn't stop Jesus. He didn't slow him down in the garden. He didn't listen. Come on now. He didn't get him in a tomb and keep him there. Y'all still preaching with me? Amen. He didn't get him sold off with a little for 30 pieces of silver and stop him. It didn't happen. Sin was involved in Jesus' ancestry. That didn't stop the Lord. Come on now. Hey, but listen, what happened is he can't stop the move of God. Endurance is where it's at. You're going to have to endure. People don't like pressure. They don't like conflict. They don't like to be put in a place to make a decision. Y'all preaching with me? I want to check you out just a little bit farther. They don't like commitment. That's the biggest thing right there. They don't like commitment, Brother Gary. They don't like to say, well, okay, I'll pray on Wednesday. Puts them in a place of commitment. They don't want to be in a place that somebody says, hey, can you do this for? How about praying for this? Or maybe something, activities going on in church. How about a revival? They don't want to be committed. Well, now that we got the water stirred, let's just step out there. I'll get down here where you're at. Well, I'm going to get back at the back. You know why marriages don't make it? They're not committed. Things get rough. Throw in the towel. Grass looks greener. There's a reason it's greener. That's lateral lines from the septic tank. Whew, preaching good. There's a reason it looks better. The devil's deceiving. No commitment to the vows they make. Y'all still preaching with me? And then this is when it really gets bad. They get into trouble. They'll begin to pray by the window. They'll say, Lord, if you'll get me out of this, I'll serve you. And then 5 weeks down the road, can I get even rougher than that? A couple of days down the road, they're feeling okay. They don't have time to go to church. Well, I'm feeling okay now. Lack of commitment. Listen, if you and I cannot keep our commitment to God, we won't keep our commitment to anybody else. Whew. There's a reason folks are not enduring. They're not committed to the cross. I remember I'd take my hat off if I had one. These young people that serve God as teenagers. That's great. Let's give them a hand. Amen. They serve him. They serve him here. They serve him at school. And I tell you, that's not an easy thing. I remember as a young person, you know, when they talk about Pentecost, you know, you're either handling snakes or you're holy roller. Y'all preaching with me? And I'll be honest with you, when I was, I don't know, 8th, 9th, 10th grade, that didn't exactly make me feel good. Y'all still preaching? But now that I've aged somewhat. Y'all ready for a funny one? Let's put a pause here and I'll get back to serious stuff. I was over to Revival the other night, and this dear old sister, friends of ours, I've known her for quite a while and hadn't seen her in a long time. And this has got nothing to do with enduring. I just had to endure it. Come on. And I went up to her, and I shook her hand. I said, so good to see you. How you been doing? And, oh, she was just so pleasant and just so, her knees was hurting. You know how we do. We tell what's wrong, and that's okay. I understand that. And we were talking, and I said, well, the Lord's going to help you. And talked to her for probably 2 or 3 minutes. She said, I don't think I know you. I'm still enduring. Oh, Lord. I said, I'm Eddie Reed. She just said, well, Eddie Reed said, I didn't recognize you. You know what she said next? You used to be skinny. I thought y'all liked that. I've aged well. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with being a little heavier on the ground. Come on now. She didn't know who it was. Oh, my goodness. The most important thing in my life is that my Lord knows who I am. And you know what happens sometimes when you get so burdened down and you get in such a place to make a decision, am I going to endure this? Am I going to stand, or am I going to throw in the towel? The enemy of your soul will try to, with all his means, to convince you that God doesn't love you, that he's forgot you. Now, when it comes to checking on folks and this and that and something other else, and I'm no doubt the world's worst. I'll forget. I'll get busy, and I'll think about it too late. But I can tell you right now, whenever you have a tear fall, my Heavenly Father knows exactly what happened. When you have a moment of sorrow and a moment of despair in your life, he knew it before it got there. Is that good news for you? That's how big he is. That's how great he is. And I'm so thankful. You see, well, you say, preacher, I don't know that we should realize this. You know, this is supposed to be an easy route. This is supposed to be something good. Listen, if we're to be Christ-like, in John chapter 19, in John chapter 19, verse 17, he said, he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of skull, which is called in Hebrew, Golgotha. Golgotha, place of the skull. He endured the cross in order for us to have life today. Are you glad that he bridged our relationship through Christ back to the Father? Now, I understand that there's things in life happens that we just can't help. I understand there's circumstances that come our way that we just can't control. But what you and I can handle and what we do have control over is our choice to endure to the end. The same shall be saved. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse, let's just go ahead, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against him, lest ye be wearied and faint in your own minds. We must realize this, church, that there's a battlefield going on. I know I mention it quite often, I guess. There's a battlefield going on right now as we speak to you in your mind. Your mind will absolutely, that's the only avenue the enemy has into you is through your thinking. Y'all still preaching with me? Amen. He works on your mind. He will destroy yourself, your thinking if you can. There's a reason, Paul said, to think on the good things, the pure things, the good report. There's a reason for that because it has an effect on your outcome. You get a bad attitude, it not only affects, I'll just get this right here, preaching real good now. You get a bad attitude at church, it affects you at home. Amen. Get a bad attitude at home, it affects you at church. Woo! It affects you at your job. It affects you with your children. It affects you with your mom and your daddy. Come on now. Your attitude is what absolutely determines on where you get with God. It's where you're at and your attitude with God. If you look at that, I tell you what, my dear old dad, I love him, and he has set an example for me in endurance that I tell you supersedes a lot of things you'll see in this life. And I remember a few years back, and he'd had colon cancer, and he was up at the hospital. They called me and said he's having a heart attack, and got up there. I said, "Dad," and he said, "You got work tomorrow, son. Going back to house." "I'm all right. Ain't nothing wrong with me." I said, "Dad, they called and said you had a heart attack. Having a heart attack." "No, I ain't having no heart attack." "Oh," he said, "I had a little trouble getting my breath a while ago." Going back to house. That's endurance. That's an absolute. On the physical, natural side of looking at things, that's endurance. That's not taking our problems and using them as a crutch. Now listen, this is easy for me to say when everything's going pretty good for me. I understand that. Troubles come your way, and we could just go naming off a big old long list of people that's got problems in your life, and they're real problems. I have no doubt. I know they are. But we can't allow them to affect our walk with God. We can't get in a place and say, "Man, this is just more than I can handle," because it is. Anything we encounter is more than we can handle. It's going to have to be God. There's no way that Christ could have carried the cross, the burden of our sin, except being empowered. And y'all may disagree with me. I believe he was empowered by the Holy Ghost to do this. I believe the Holy Ghost is our enduring power today as a church body, as a believer. He will equip us and empower us to be overcomers. Amen. I get on Revelations, I think it's 3. I forget exactly what verse it is. It says that we are made overcomers by the word of our testimony. Amen. Y'all with me? Word of their testimony. Their testimony wasn't that they'd been drug addicts and set free. It wasn't that they'd been saved. It was the testimony was what Christ was doing in their life. It's not the testimony of me, it's the testimony of Him. It's what Christ is doing. It's not that I can do anything, it's that Christ can do it and that He will do it. Who is saved? Those in a saved condition. We're in a place that we're made whole, we're protected by the elements of this world, we're saved by the blood of the Lamb. Are you glad for His saving power? A place that you get in life that you seem like you can't make it. Amen. I don't want to be there. I'm going to hit you just a few scriptures here. Also, it said in Matthew 10:22, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth unto the end shall be saved." That was Matthew 10:22. I want to say this real quick. This is another kind of a downer for us, I guess. But I've had people come to me and tell me how people hate them and how people this and how people that. And you know, I get to diving into that, and they begin to tell me about this and what's going on, and kind of find out it's not because of Christ. Y'all still preaching with me? When you dive into it and you really get to seeing what's going on, it's because of sin in their life that they've things they've done wrong. Because people don't like them. That's good preaching. That's truth. We're going to have to realize this, that there are folks in this world that hates us because of Christ. They flew airplanes into our cities. They tried to destroy the Pentagon up there. Thousands of lives were destroyed, not because we're nice people, not because we're mean people, because we believe in Jesus Christ. Believe in Him. That is why they hate us. In Hebrews 12:7, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Sometimes we have to endure a few things in this life. Job endured, Brother Eldon, great loss. You look at the scriptures, there was not one thing that Job done wrong to deserve that. And folks, I tell you what, Brother Gary, there's times that happens in our life. We just have problems come our way for no reason. Just come. They just come. They just come in. Sometimes they come in like a flood. And sometimes it seems like we can't overcome. We just cannot help it. But listen, folks, whether problems come because of my sin and disobedience or problems come just because God allowed them, y'all still with me? God's still God. God's still the one going to help us through. He's still the one going to give us the strength to endure, to give us the ability to stand. It's not because we're smart, look good, or got money. It's because we decide to serve Him. Y'all still with me? There was a type, and I'm not going to take time to read there. I'm just going to hit real quickly. And in Genesis 24, Abraham was sending out for Rebekah, for Isaac. And as this was going on, he sent camels from his herd. And that camel is a type of endurance. They can handle dry weather. They can go a long time without eating. They can endure the elements of the world and things of the earth and so on and so forth. And they just continue to go and to go and to go. And folks, as a Christian today, and if you're here this morning, you're ready to throw the towel in. I believe somebody's here. I believe you just got to the point. Some folks give up on God. They give up on everything around them. If that's where you're at this morning, I'm praying that something's been said today to give you courage and encouragement to strive a little longer, to stay in there and not find yourself giving up in this last days that we're in. Somebody said, I get tired of hearing these last days. Can I tell you, your last day could be today? There may not be a trumpet sound. You may not hear it. I may not hear it. We could leave here before we get home. Oh, fear, preacher. Don't try to scare me. I'm preaching reality to you. That's reality. We don't have the promise of tomorrow. We have the promise that He's with us. Stand with us. Gone as far as you can go. Come get us a song. There's a scripture David speaks of in Psalms, a place called Wits End. Just tossed to and fro. And that place of Wits End is where you just don't know. You have no idea what you're going to be able to do for tomorrow. You can't even see past tomorrow because of all the trials, all the troubles, all the sorrows coming your way. But he that endureth unto the end, same, shall be saved. Let's pray. Father, this morning I thank you for the service. Lord, I know that you're speaking to hearts in this house right now. Lord, those that's here today, and they've just been going and just barely hanging on, God. They know you're real, but they've just been such an onslaught of trials coming their way. I'm praying today, Lord, that you will strengthen them in this battle. Lord, you will give them strength to stand, Lord, and hang on, Lord, in this last days that we're in. Lord, if there's one here doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, I pray this morning, God, draw them in, Lord, and we'll praise you for it in your precious name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Souls in this house today, I don't know your needs. I don't know your problems. Repeating one more time, I believe somebody's here, maybe more than one. You're contemplating giving up, going as far as you can go. Don't want to go no more. If that's you, God hadn't told me who. If that's you, make your way to this altar. Let His sweet Holy Ghost power strengthen you. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, come. He'll meet you here. Hallelujah.